think you'd be shocked.
Well, there's... What do you mean? What do I know
I
about the Depression? About getting jobs? You couldn't buy a job. They didn't have no unemployment. When you were working, they didn't even have insurance. And those that were working, they worked.
Where were you working?
I tried to get a job any place, and I couldn't get a job for love or money. And I was about 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Anxious. Trying to get dates. How are you going to get a date with no money, no job? I didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Were you still living with Grandma?
Yeah, I was still living with Grandma in Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the country. No electricity. Farmed with horses. We'd come to town once a week with good grain for the cattle, for the animals. Grind it up. And they had hitching posts in town where they got parking meters today. North Monroe Street wasn't even paved beyond St. Mary's Cemetery.
Okay, I remember that.
That's when the three C's started.
Yeah.
What's the three C's?
The three C's was the Civilian Conservation Corps. That's when Franklin Roosevelt got to be president. His first big deal?
Yeah.
Or the first project? They had fellows ranging from ages 18 to 26. We got $30 a month, plus our room and board. $25 went home, and we kept $5. They gave us. But where would you spend it? We was way out in the middle of the woods. When I went up north, in upper Michigan, by the Prominent Falls, in Paradise, what's called Paradise, we had to cut trees down to set up our tents before we could go to bed. And that's what we'd take a mile square. We would take everything in a 32-foot width, cut it down and make roadways. They call them fire lanes. But we made roads out of them, which was supposed to prevent forest fires. Of which there was plenty at that time, because there was acres and acres and miles of nothing but woods and woods. So that's what we got. And some groups where there wasn't any trees, they would plant trees. And that CC's was all over the United States.
Was that in Upper Peninsula or just Upper Michigan?
Well, my camp was in Upper Peninsula. There was camps all over Michigan. Even near Pontiac, which isn't too far from here.
How old were you when you went into the CCCs?
How did I get into it?
Yeah.
How old?
Well, I signed up for it.
How old were you?
I was about 18.
How long did it last, though?
Oh, it lasted about, I dare say 6 to 8 years, something like that.
Did you stay in it the whole time?
No, I stayed in it for 10 months. And I finally got a job.
Where at?
At St. Bernard, there used to be a creamery on Dunbar Road, just off of Telegraph. And I stayed with the guy, and I got $17 a week. And I put in about, maybe 60 hours.
A week?
A week. And then I got a job at nursery. 22 and a half cents an hour. And
talk
10 hours a day.
Wage.
You did anything.
What did you do at the creamery?
At the nursery, you mean?
Well, at the nursery and the creamery. What kind of work did you do?
Oh, what kind of work? Well, I picked up milk from the farmers to start with, and then I'd work inside, bottling milk and taking it from the cans and putting it into a big vats where we'd pasteurize it and then bottle it.
Would they do stuff like give you cream and milk and that for cheaper or for free because you worked there?
Well, a lot of times we got away with it just taking it.
skim milk, you got a lot of skim milk.
Skim milk they gave away. Skim milk they give to the farmers to feed their hogs. Really? And I sold milk retail. We delivered milk house to house.
Well,
I get up about 4 o'clock in the morning. Deliver house to house.
It's
8 cents a quart.
What?
8 cents a quart is all we got for delivering it. And they had glass bottles. We'd bulk milk, we'd sell for a quarter a gallon. Can you imagine a quarter of a gallon for milk? I wonder what the price is for a half a gallon now. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but then they made a lot less too then.
Oh, yes. And you did work. And there wasn't no fringe benefits. No insurance. If you got hurt in the plant or in a shop or even at the creamery there.
No welfare.
They would pay the hospital. They would pay the hospital.
They would or wouldn't?
They would pay the hospital. But that's it.
There was no welfare.
There was no welfare. Can you imagine no welfare and no work? Buddy, I'll tell you, you scrounged. I remember one of my friends, he had a girlfriend and he wanted some money. He took and drilled a hole in a farmer's granary at night and sold the wheat the next day. And then he'd only get about 60 cents a bushel. So two bushels would be about $1.20. But that $1.20, you could go to show for 20 cents, 25 cents at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And pop was only a nickel. Ice cream was only a nickel. So he came out pretty good.
I smile too.
But on the other hand, when you worked, when you did work, you didn't get no money.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to give most of your money to Grandma?
Oh, yes. I worked the Ohio China Company one time. I'd work about 10 hours a day. And I got $17 a week. $10 of that went to Grandma. And here I am, a young man. Where in the heck am I going to go with $7 a week? How am I going to buy a car? How am I going to do this or do that? But Grandma was by herself. And Dad died when I was a young fella. So we just had to get along.
Well, Grandma had a car though, didn't she, or didn't she at that time yet?
Not at that time.
How long was it before?
She had a car, yeah, an old 39 Chevy. 29 Chevy.
Yeah, but after your dad died, she didn't have a car.
No.
The car that she had was Herbie's.
Yeah.
Well, then did you use that to get to work, or did she have horses, or?
Well, I had an old, that old 29 Chevy, and then I got to get a different car, mm-hmm. and kept trading, and I'd get to work, and then I'd ride to work with another guy and give him $5 a week for gas, but then gasoline was only about 10 cents a gallon. There's another thing. Look at the price of gasoline.
Yes, sure has gone up.
Live through that depression again.
Yes, don't worry. I'm glad I didn't have to live through it.
We had a lot of spaghetti and macaroni.
Potatoes and milk. One night we'd have potatoes and milk for supper, and then the next night we'd have milk and potatoes. Because we'd raise our own potatoes.
Well, at least you had a varied diet that way.
Well, that's in the great chickens and eggs and stuff like that we had to sell. Get other stuff that we needed.
Did you have a cow?
Yeah, we had a cow. Matter of fact, we had 9 of it one time. But we'd sell the milk.
Mm-hmm. Was that at the same time that you were working at the creamery?
No. That was before that. I started working at the creamery after I left the CC camp.
What about the radio? Did Grandma buy a radio?
No. We didn't have The only radio we had was one Uncle Herbie made out of an oatmeal box.
How did he learn to do that, though?
It's a crystal set. You can get them, you can make them today. It's nothing but a white bunch of wires wrapped around an oatmeal box, and they got a crystal, and then they got what they call a cat's whisker. You put that on there, and then you search around, and the crystal's about the size of a dime, and you got a little bare wire. You gotta find a spot on that crystal where you can find some, get some music or a station. It was crude up there. And then we had an old battery set.
What was that for?
Radio. A big battery set. You had three dials, and they had to be synchronized in order to get a station.
Oh, boy, it'd take you 2 hours to get one, huh?
Yeah, and then when you would get a station, you had a piece of paper alongside of the radio. Dial 1 is this number, dial 2 is that number, and dial 3 was this number for this station. And then when you find another station, you'd check the dials and put the dial numbers down and for that particular station.
Okay. What about holidays? What did you do for, like, 4th of July?
That was just another day.
What?
I can remember Christmas being just another day.
Christmas too?
For about six to 7 years, maybe 8 years, Christmas was just another day.
You didn't decorate up the Christmas
tree? We didn't
tree?
Decorate, we didn't have no tree, we didn't have no presents, we didn't have no nothing.
Did you go to church at night?
Yeah, we went to church. We'd get a bag of stuff for from the church. We'd get a bag of stuff like popcorn and peanuts and candy and... But toys, that was out of the question.
Where were you going to church at?
Candy Creek.
Hmm.
You remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I must say I do remember Santa Claus. What about, did you go to school there too, or wasn't
that
a school?
No, I went to Asm School.
Which one?
Asm.
Where was that at?
That's still on Stony Creek Road.
Oh, at the end of Tobin?
Yeah, on the end of Tobin Road.
Mom went there too, didn't she?
Yeah, she went there. Yeah.
That's neat that you...
Of course, I only had about two years, I think I went there, 7th and 8th grades. And that's as far as I went to school. Because how was I going to get to the high school?
Yeah. None of you got to go to high school except in Alba, did ya? So none of you got to go to high school except in Alba, did ya?
Right. That's right. Alba's the only one.
What about sports? You guys get to play football and stuff like that?
Well, for 1 year, I think, one summer, there was a pickup baseball team from Steiner, maybe a mile radius of Steiner.
Mm-hmm. A pickup baseball team?
Yeah. Well, we didn't have no special team, and then we'd find out there was another team, another area, you know, and they would come over, and we played in the old cow field. Pasture field. We didn't have no, I didn't have no regular nothing, you know, just pickup.
You know what for bases?
What did you use for bases? What do you know what?
You know what a pasture field.
Oh, okay. What did you use for a baseball?
A regular baseball. But we played that, we used that baseball until the hides fell off. And then we tape it up with tape.
No mitts, though, huh?
Huh?
No.
Oh
mitts.
Yeah, they had mitts, but then we'd leave out the everybody had used the same mitt. Both teams had used the same mitt.
Oh, I see.
Then some guys would have a bat, maybe, and then maybe there'd be about two or three bats, would be about it.
But no football or anything like that.
No, football. I didn't know the first thing about it.
Even later on, did you ever play football?
No, I never did.
How did you start playing the accordion when you were little, or was that later?
Well, I picked my first accordion. Uncle, we had a Sears Roebuck catalog. You know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Otto and I, we went through the catalog. He took a fiddle. It's costing $7. I don't remember the cent. A little over $7 for his fiddle. And my first accordion had two rows of buttons. I mean, one row of buttons. 10 keys. Mm. And four basses. $4.10.
Those weren't the big tar ones, though, were those?
No, just a little one like this one.
Oh,
a little one. And every spare minute I had, I was onto that accordion.
But did you have to just kind of teach yourself? Or?
Right, that's it. Because my dad used to play one of them, and I just picked it up myself. Never took a lesson in my life.
Then you, after a while, you got the bigger ones then?
Yeah. Well, as you grow, as you get older, you know, you learn more and more.
Mm-hmm. Were you really close to your neighbors? Did you have barn dances and stuff like that where everybody would get together?
Yeah. After when we got bigger, why? We would have on a Saturday night, you'd go to one farmhouse, they had big rooms. They take the furniture out of the living room and put it wherever they could, roll up the rug, and one guy would bring a fiddle, another guy would bring a guitar, another guy would bring an accordion, like myself, and we'd play up a storm. The women would furnish sandwiches, and the men folks that weren't playing, they'd chip in a quarter apiece for a keg of beer, and we'd have a time. A lot of times it was daylight. We made our own fun.
And big weddings? Did you have big weddings back then?
Well, not like they are today. We'd have in Steiner there, there was a basket factory. They'd take the machines out and stuff like that and have a little time there, but not like they were today.
They have chivalries, right?
Oh, yeah, they'd have chivalries. You don't know what a chivalry is. All right, a chivalry. There's a bunch of the neighbor's kids, they're same as they're around their own age, friends of theirs, so to speak, would find out somehow or other where they were going to stay, where they were going to live. And the first night that they lived there, along about midnight, these guys would gather around. They'd have like an old buzzsaw. They'd put that on a pole. Two guys carry that, and then he hit it with hammers. Anything to make noise. And buddy, they made noise. They'd wake up, and then of course they'd have to put their clothes on or whatever, and furnish some beer to the guy. That's the only way they'd go home. I was in on a couple of them.
Did they do that to you in Florence too?
No, we got married. We were smart. We got married in Wisconsin.
Did you meet her here though?
Yeah.
Don't tell her how you met her now.
Yes, tell me how you met her.
Well, I was... Here, the way that happened... There was one fella, an old bachelor. He was about maybe 30 years old at the time. He built a new house. And before he moved anything into it, like furniture, they talked him into having a party. On a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have beer cases and planks for seats, you know, to sit on. And we had the dance. And we had a dance every Saturday after that for a whole year. It was a year before I moved in it. Because everybody wanted it, you know, for dancing and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
They'd have weddings and different parties in a house with no furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So after about a year, we kind of broke up, and then he moved his furniture.
Wait a minute, how did you meet her, though? At one of the dances?
Yeah.
I was playing. It was myself on an accordion, another guy with a fiddle, another guy with a guitar. And I noticed that she only square danced. Her boyfriend with her would only square dance. So we start out a good foxtrot, and I told the other guys to keep playing, and I was going to dance. So I asked her to dance, and while we were dancing, I asked her if I could take her home, and she said no, she came with this guy, and she was going home with him. So then I said, well, how about tomorrow night? Tomorrow, I got to play baseball for Sandy Creek, softball, rather. I got to play softball for Sandy Creek if she wanted to go to the ball game with me. So yeah, she said she would. So I was over to her place before he got home from church. And from that day to this. And that was in August the 28th of 1938.
I think that's very sweet.
And we got married on October the 2nd of 1940. And we're still together.
Careful.
I ought to have a medal for that.
You!
When Uncle Otto was working for Newton Steel.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you remember about him working for Newton Steel?
What I remember about that is they had a union, and they were tough. And no, wait a minute, I don't know if they had a union. There were some fellas, one of the, well, what would you call them, goons or whatever.
Mafia.
Well, probably the mafia. They wanted to prevent them guys from going to work. So Uncle Otto had to carry a gun. He had a gun with him when he went to work. And there were six fellas, three on each side of his car, was going to dump it over into the river.
With him in it?
No, not with him in it. He would have got out. You know, he wouldn't let them dump it in the river. He'd have got out. But Otto just rolled down his window and put his gun on the windowsill. I said, boy, he said, go ahead. Try something. And they let him go. And they never bothered him since. But there was different ones. There was, I don't know just how many. But there were several cars that they did dump in the river. And I, you know how far the river is, a little ways away from the road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they got them into the river, but by golly, they did. Dumped them right in the river.
Well, when we were learning about this in school, they were saying how Mayor Nagg got a whole bunch of people together to break through the picket line so that everybody could go back to work.
Yeah.
Did you know anybody that was like one of those special deputies that helped
them?
No,
I didn't know any of them.
Did you guys hear a lot about all that?
Well, it was in the papers. The only reason I know about something in the river is Uncle Otto was telling me, and he also told me about how he had to carry a gun to work and everything like that, and you didn't know if your car would be together or not when you got done work. Well, they'd try to come in there while they was parked. They didn't have too much of a security system then.
Mm-hmm. Were you both still living with Grandma?
Yeah. It was shortly after that that Uncle Otto left.
Where were you working when the Newton Steel?
I was home yet. I was trying to help with the farm work.
Did you ever go into a speakeasy, Uncle Gus?
No. I didn't know what they were. And I didn't have any money to go anyplace anyway.
Go where?
Speakeasy.
Oh.
Blind pig or otherwise. We were sitting on a front lawn after supper one night. And here was a Model A roadster. Convertible. Went past the house, I'll bet he was going 60 miles an hour. And that was on a dirt road.
How fast?
About 60. He was, And as soon as he went by, all we could see was that little round spot on the middle of the door. State police was chasing him. And they stopped the convertible, stopped at Calorian's Woods. You know, there was a wood there right next to Grandma's, just a little ways. And these guys got out of the car and they ran away. They got away. I'll say they got away. And right after that, they reported it. He reported his car stolen. He reported it to the state police that his car was stolen. And Dad, he was interested in that, so we could see the police car from the front of the house. And, oh, there was neighbors there that you wouldn't believe gathered around, and where they all came from, who knows? But anyway, we was all there. And he opened up the rumble seat, or the back end of it. It wasn't a rumble seat. They opened up the back end of it, and it was all full of 5-gallon cans of alcohol. And the cops, they even took some and poured some into a cap and put a match to it. Burned just like gasoline. it burned. And Dad, how can we get a hold of a can of that? The cops wouldn't. Oh, no way. But they got away with it.
Yeah, but they got the other alcohol confiscated then, though.
Oh, yeah, they confiscated the alcohol. Well, I don't know how many gallons there were, how many cans there was. There was a bunch of them. But that was really, that was an exciting thing about that. All right, then it comes out where Roosevelt repealed the amendment, the 18th, I think it is. They started selling beer. 3-2 beer. You could drink a barrel of this stuff and it wouldn't bother you. But guys would say, Hector, you should have been with us last night. Boy, did we get plastered. 3-2 beer, and you could get sick with it, yes. But you never get drunk with it. And then when they started out with the whiskey, well, then that was a different story again. It was a new thing. There was more drunks in them days than you could shake a stick at. But getting back to the prohibition, there was a lot of guys made plenty of money by rum running. They take boats, cars, bring in beer and whiskey from Canada. They go across Lake Erie. In the winter time, they drive cars across.
Ambassador Bridge really? Wasn't there yet then either, was it?
Huh?
Ambassador Bridge wasn't there in the tunnel at that time either.
No. I remember when the Ambassador Bridge was built. I think they had the tunnel there, but they didn't have the bridge then.
They had the ferry.
Yeah.
They just drive their cars across Lake Erie?
Well, in the wintertime, yeah, on the ice.
Yeah, but didn't they have, like, some kind of border patrol up to keep them from bringing it back into the United States?
Well, they had border patrol, but they got around that. They wasn't going to have a side-by-side man.
Mm-hmm. They just kind of snuck around, huh?
Some got caught, sure.
And you knew?
Then what? No, I wasn't in it.
I thought maybe some of your friends or something.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Well, there was one I knew was in it, but I ain't going to say nothing about that. But anyway, they take boats in the summertime. They would tie cases and cases underneath the boats and bring it across that way.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but wouldn't the guys see the ropes coming up from underneath?
Well, everything was underwater.
I see. Okay.
And then when the cops would go home or so, leave them alone, well, then they'd go back there and pick it up. And then they'd put it in their cars. All right, what they used to do, some of the times, they used to get away with it for quite a while, until the cops got onto them. They would have a lead car. He wouldn't have nothing in his car but himself. And he'd purposely drive like he was drunk. And the cops had picked him up, and while they was picking him up, they take the booze right down, right on through.
That's pretty sneaky.
Yeah, it is, but they...